No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and it's time for this week's matchup show for the defense for this upcoming game against the Browns. Big divisional game. Joining me, as always, to talk about it is Frazier Tafar. Frazier, how you doing?
Doing good, Ken. Glad to be back on for another defensive matchup show. I mean, we've been looking good on defense these past 3 weeks, 4 weeks, really. I think we look good against LA, but let's see if we can keep stacking these wins and have another performance on defense against a lesser Browns opponent.
Yeah, and the Browns specifically are playing still pretty reasonably well on defense. In fact, I'd say quite well, but they're not playing well on offense at all. They've struggled with Dylan Gabriel, even though his stats weren't that bad this last week. He had 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. He also got sacked 6 times. And so he was scurrying around and not doing what you'd otherwise hope. But let's go ahead and start it off with your first defense item.
Yep. My first defensive matchup is the Ravens pass rush versus the Browns pass protection. I think this is where the game is going to be won and lost. Really, it's going to be if the Ravens can A, stop the run, which could be an issue with Judkins, who's came on strong these past couple of weeks, and he showed flashes the first game we played as well. So once we can establish that and the offense gets a little bit of the lead, the pass rush is going to be big. And the Browns' offensive line is to be had. Their tackles aren't very good. Their right guard, his name's passing me right now. But either way, he's not really one of the top line guards. So we can keep attacking him the way we've been attacking the Dolphins and also the Vikings' offensive line. We've been getting pressure constantly. I think Draymond Jones has been a big addition in terms of bringing another force that we haven't had since we traded Odafe Owe. Even though we have our issues with Owe, he's always there getting pressure. He might not get the sacks, but
right
now that we've picked back up on the pressure, quarterbacks aren't comfortable. We saw a couple errant throws by McCarthy. The 2 interceptions specifically were not the best of throws, hurried throws. So continuing to get the pass rush going. Some of the stunts worked. Sending Kyle Hamilton on a blitz worked. He had a nice inside. It was like a ghost move on the guard. Continuing to be versatile in our attack with the pass rush is going to be key going against his Vikings offensive line.
Yeah, Hamilton was fantastic last week in terms of getting in the face of McCarthy. And this week, you're absolutely right about it's, by the way, the right guard you're looking for, I think, is Wyatt Teller is who you mean, but the Browns don't have any really good pass blockers along the whole offensive line. Joel Bitonio is probably the best guy they have. He's older now and he's good. He's not great. And the rest of their line is absolutely awful across the board as pass blockers. They've had a lot of trouble protecting at all this season. I actually think it's one of the reasons why they haven't gone to Sanders as yet. They don't want to throw him into a situation like this. And also,
underrated, they seem like last week there was rumors that they feel like they were throwing the game because it didn't seem like they were trying to win the Browns.
Well, that could be the rest of this season.
Right. But I feel like if they put in Sanders, their fear is that he's actually going to go out there and try and win the game. Unlike Gabriel, who just dumps the ball off if the first read's not there. Like, I feel like Sanders would give him more of an opportunity to push the ball downfield.
That might be true. And I'll just say, from talking to Jake Burns this week on the Know Your Foe show. And so he covers the Browns regularly. He says, you know, the Browns have a lot of things going on, but they really need to play good football now, in part because they're trying to sell PSLs to their new stadium.
Right.
You know, you can't do that when you're putting a product on the field like they have right now. And, you know, they have to basically eat this enormous pig that is moving through the python in finance terms of $400 million of dead money that they've got to avoid your money that they've got on the gap. So they're the anti-Eagles in terms of how you lose and still accumulate a big cap when, you know, a big avoid your debt when you do this. So it can go both ways, but they have a very rough offensive line. I think the Ravens, if they can't get pressure against this, I'll be very upset about it. And their big chance is, I think, to get nose tackle and three tech Jones on the field on early downs. So they have a lot of extra nose tackle snaps they need to hand out. John Jenkins needs to play when he's on. He can be on with Jones sometimes as the three tech. And they can't play Jones every snap, so it has to be somebody else at the three tech as well. But it's almost like if you have Jones as a zero or a one in this game, the only time I would really do it is on a passing down. And I wouldn't necessarily do it on those downs. I might think about what my alternatives are to try and get Jones matched up one-on-one. Now, they could do other things to get him matched up one-on-one, but you usually have to use a scarce resource to do it. So you can bring guys up to the line of scrimmage and create a blocking responsibility for all five linemen that's one-on-one, but then you have, you know, you're going to at least have one less in coverage when you do that, if you mug the A-gap, say.
Yep, and I think just trying to create confusion, get two guys blocking one, create the wrong slide. I think these things are what Orr can do with his play calling. I think Ravens have always been known for exotic looks. They're going to need it because at the end of the day, the Browns are a divisional opponent. They know us better than any other team in the NFL. Same thing with the Steelers, same thing with Cincinnati. They play us twice a year, so it's not much we can get by them. So I think bringing more creativity this week is going to be real crucial for the pass rush.
I agree, and it's a talented defense. So we'll get to that on the offense show in a little bit. Let me move on to my first item, which is Hamilton versus Dylan Gabriel. I think this is a great one-on-one matchup. All they really need to do with Gabriel, I think, is to keep him off balance. Just keep a little bit of pressure in his face. Get him feeling like his feet are not safe. Get him feeling like he needs to get rid of the ball quickly. And you'll get this underneath passing game, which very much favors what the Ravens like to do with their inside linebackers and with safeties and whatnot, which is come downhill and make tackles. They're very good at it. So Hamilton also had a huge impact in Minnesota with all the false starts. And he was a party to about four of those, including one where he just jumped in over center in the A-gap. And Jake Brendel, there's no reason that I could see. I didn't think Hamilton flinched or anything, but he just came up to the line of scrimmage, stood in the A-gap, and Jake Brendel then had another thing he had to do, namely switch the blocking assignment, and he moved the football. And that created one of the eight false starts. So I just love when that happens. He's on the outside. He and one other Raven often can make a move at the same time, and a coordinated double move like that seems to be very good at creating a false start. I thought that Minnesota would probably send stuff to the league, and we might even heard of something about it by now, but it wouldn't surprise me if this is a rule change for next year, is they get more specific about what defenses are not allowed to do to cause false starts, because college made a big move, by the way, in that direction for 2025, which you're not allowed to make line shifts, which cause the offense to jump, or you're guilty of defensive delay of game. So
I was confused, really, because I've never seen that many false starts for an offense at
home. Never. Yeah. I mean, the Ravens were clearly inducing them. They had eight in the game. And the good thing is that they were jittery themselves, and probably three or four of them at least were their fault. But then another four or so were the Ravens doing things that were very instigative.
I guess I gotta watch it all back because yeah. I didn't watch every single penalty, but it was,
If you're interested in this, In the defensive show, I did a rundown of all individual 8 false starts with what I saw happening on the tape.
Okay.
It's in the first part of the show. It's probably actually fairly early on in the episode, but I didn't do it in the article because we wrote an abbreviated article because of travel, but otherwise it's in the podcast. A little more on Hamilton versus Gabriel. He probably has a hand in covering Harold Fannin, who is the biggest Cleveland receiving threat. One of the biggest. Jerry Jeudy is still there. But because Gabriel likes to use the middle of the field, exactly, likes to keep it short, Fannin is going to be one of their big targets. And Hamilton will have a big hand in covering him. He's obviously a great matchup for Hamilton. I think it pretty much any tight end is. So another game where I think the Ravens secondary also needs to play for the overthrow. And you'll get some picks in this game. Gabriel will give away some balls like that, particularly if he's jittery. Overthrows from young quarterbacks are something you want to really hunt. They had 2 good chances at interceptions this last week on such throws. Starks made his. Gilman dropped his. That's okay. Just get as many shots on goal as you can. Convert as many as you can. And hopefully the Ravens keep on this good turnover heater they're on.
Yep, it's been real good to see them get the turnovers that they have been. Really seeing Starks come to life. I know we've talked about it the past couple of weeks that I know you were disappointed a little bit earlier in the year.
I'm not now, by the way. Disappointed.
Of course. I think he's definitely shown his worth because I think it's crazy. I think it's the week you had some issue with him. He got the pick. So, I mean, he's been doing good ever since then. Halloween Gilman has been a true plug and play back there. He's calmed the defense down. It's really a shame that Ardarius Washington wasn't here to start the year. Hopefully he can still come back.
Let me tell you about the online cannabis company that's changing the game, Mood.com. They created an entirely line of functional gummies, 100% federally legal THC blends, discreetly delivered right to your doorstep. And here's the best part. You can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with the promo code Ravens. Now, I've tried a bunch of their gummies myself. Each one's totally unique. The Sleepy Time gummies knock me out right away. They help me unwind fast, leave me refreshed the next morning. The Epic Euphoria gummies, they're perfect for when your day just isn't going the way you want it to go. What makes Mood special is how they pair the THC with natural herbs and adaptogens. You won't find blends like this at any local shop. They've got gummies designed for focus, relaxation, clarity, even energy, all made from cannabis grown on small, family-owned American farms. No pesticides, no shortcuts, just high-quality weed you can trust. Plus, Mood backs everything with a 100-day satisfaction guarantee. So head on over to Mood.com, check out their amazing selection, and don't forget to use the promo code Ravens at checkout to save 20% off your first order.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
It's going to be interesting to see the way they plug him in. Really down the year, end of December, beginning of January, to see what they do. I mean, do you think there might be a spot for him
when he comes for Ardarius?
Yeah.
Oh, I think they'll find a way to get him playing time. Yeah, he's very good. Toss out the first place that would be obvious would be he'd play nickel in dime situations.
That wouldn't do that.
In dime situations.
Oh, okay.
So Hamilton's moving to dime no matter what. So you don't have a slot corner on those downs, and that's where you might see him. You might see him rotate with Gilman some, just see what he's got right now, get him back on the field, get some of that muscle memory going again. And, you know, hopefully the Ravens are playing in some one-sided games the rest of the way. We'll see. But I think if Ardarius were able to come back, yes, they would use him.
Gotcha. All right. So moving on to my next matchup for this, I got the Ravens pass defense versus the Browns first read. You touched on it a little bit. Dylan Gabriel more than likely will pass.
Yeah, well, he'll want he'll be jittery down. And he'll be trying to get rid of the ball quickly. Yeah.
More than likely, he'll check the ball down, mainly because of his first read not being there. He's a young quarterback still. He doesn't have that much experience reading the NFL field. So if he doesn't see his first read, more than likely, he's not the tallest guy like the past three quarterbacks we faced. If he can't see his receiver, he's more than likely just going to dump it off. So you can see the Browns' frustration, the Browns' receiver's frustration whenever he checks the ball down because, I mean, there are some holes that he can throw into the second and the third level, but he's just not there with the timing. The confidence is not there. So I think if the Ravens can continue to take away his first read, watch his eyes. He's not someone that can manipulate the safety or manipulate the linebacker with his eyes and then get you coming back one way. Really, the way that it can be effective is if they're running play action and their run game is effective with Judkins, who really can be a big factor if the Ravens aren't able to handle it up front.
So Dylan Gabriel lists at 5'11". I don't think he's really 5'11". No, I don't think Baker Mayfield was really 6'1". And I know Aaron Rodgers is not really 6'2", which is what he lists on ProFootballReference.com. Because that guy is he's so sensitive to any discussion about how he's much shorter than people thought he was going to be. People say that to him a lot, apparently.
Wow.
And you know, someone who's my height, I'm like 6 feet. Probably a little under 6 feet one with shrinkage that's occurred since I was a kid, but I would be taller than Aaron Rodgers at this point in life still.
Wow.
And so you'd see that notice. You'd notice that, but it's just something that, you know, the Cleveland, they just got done with a quarterback who one of the problems with him was height. And they had Manziel was that way too, right? Manziel was a shorter guy.
Same way.
So they're still willing to pick short quarterbacks. They're just not willing to try and really develop them in a way that would work. I don't know if the Browns really are ready to admit that they really messed it up with Baker Mayfield, but the Browns fans are certainly willing to admit it.
Yep.
That, you know, they had the number one pick and they did have a pretty good quarterback. I mean, not one of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL, but they had a good quarterback and they let it slip away. So that's a bummer. Okay, I agree with you on all the first read stuff. I think we touched on some of it in terms of the jitteriness in particular of Gabriel and forcing him to check down to Sampson, who's a good receiving running back, by the way. We'll still put the Ravens in good positions to make tackles. I do expect they're gonna show a lot of screen game to the Ravens.
Yep.
And the Ravens probably would do better to try and go with some fairly conservative 4 or 5 man rushes, but not go all out with a bunch of sixes and sevens. I don't think that plays the Ravens' strength at all in this game. I think they want to try and manufacture overloads. I think they want to drop out of sim pressure, which is not effective at covering dragging a seam, but it's very effective when you drop out of sim pressure and cover a running back. That's exactly what you can get real coverage value still out of that player doing that. I'll go into my last.
Just one last tidbit. I think honestly the way that we can essentially stop them from having success on the first read is just focus in on Judy and Fannin. And I think that will be the game right there because Judy has not got his touches. And I wouldn't be surprised if they come in this week and they're making it an emphasis. Okay, Judy is going to be the focal point. We have to get him involved. He had some success against the Ravens, so they're probably going to try and build on that. Against Chet, he had some success. So that's going to be their focal point on offense. Obviously, Fannin is a good supplemental to what their attack is. So those two are essentially going to be the main causes of the first read for the Browns.
Well, of course, last week, Justin Jefferson was twice intercepted and had 12 targets for 37 total yards. Twice on targets for him. So incredible job there. So it's not just enough to say you want to do it. If the Ravens are clever about how they manage their layering of the defense, what he gets will be pretty short. And when they try and go deep, it'll be contested and bracketed. But you can't, I mean, in the first 6 or 7 yards, very hard to contest against a receiver like Judy or like Jefferson for in similar ways. They're going to get their slants in and whatnot.
I think we got saved a little bit on the Marlon Humphrey interception, because I think if Jefferson is actually stride with stride for Humphrey, he probably goes up and mosses him, if I'm being honest. Because Jefferson's just that kind of receiver who can high point it. Humphrey only has one arm at that point, so it would have not been pretty for us, but thankfully he tripped up and all Marlon had to do was just catch a punt.
Yeah, it's still a tough punt to catch with one arm, but yeah,
for sure.
It was a good play. Okay, I'm going to go to another one, a little different now on the run game. I think a big matchup is going to be the Ravens inside linebackers versus climbing interior offensive linemen. So they'll use a lot of combination blocks on the inside to develop seams there. The climbing players will get to level two. And when they do, getting blocks on Roquan Smith and on Buchanan is going to be what creates some breakaway plays for them. If they want to contain the Cleveland run game, they need to shed level two blocks to get to the hole quickly, but also they need to consistently threaten penetration at the line of scrimmage. So playing multiple nose tackles, as they've done in recent weeks, they have two nose tackles on the field on early downs pretty much all the time. And on later downs, they typically go to a nose tackle in Simpson or a nose tackle in Taven Bryan or a nose tackle with Draymond kicked inside. They said could do any of those, but on early downs, it's typically been two nose tackles of the three they have active each week. And they consistently then can threaten penetration and delay the release of those guards or centers upfield. So I think that should be effective also in terms of a quarterback like Gabriel, because I don't think you have less of a passing threat like Gabriel. You're less concerned about really getting in the quarterback's face on first and second down the same way. They have other ways to do it. They can do it off the edge. But in the middle, they'll still get some decent push because Jenkins and Jones are still perfectly capable of that thing of push. But they don't need to be in the face of Gabriel every play. They need to prove to Gabriel that they can get in his face a good percentage of the time.
Yep, and I completely agree with that. It's been nice to see the Ravens kind of settle in and have a real plan without Matt Ibike. Now that we have understood that he's going to be out for the year, probably indefinitely, the way we've attacked the running game issue, stopping the run, has been good. Aaron Jones had a couple big plays in the beginning of the game, and then some at the end, when we got up a little bit on them, they had some success, but really overall, the Ravens have really buttoned up their run defense. I credit Jenkins a lot. He's played above his age, above his pay grade. I mean, it's been good what he's been able to do, stepping right in place of Matt Ibike, not placing his shoes play for play, but obviously just stepping in. I really want to see a lot of activation from Buchanan this game. If he's able to stay clean, he's going to have to really be the one chasing Jenkins. He has a lot of speed. Jenkins, speaking of, he can get out there. He can make a cut back across the blocking to get backside. So we have to make sure Buchanan's untouched and he can play the cat and mouse game with Jenkins. Because Roquan, he can get there, but he needs to make sure he has that angle because he doesn't have that makeup speed that Buchanan has right now.
All right. Outstanding. Frazier, always great talking football with you. Tell folks where they can hit you up if they want to talk football online.
You guys can reach me at Twitter/X at F_Rave8. That's FRAVE8.
All right. And I think we had a question, by the way, on this show, and I want to go back to this. It's up for the offensive matchups. Okay, so we'll save it for that. Other folks out there, though, please make use of hashtag Film Study Mailbag. We love questions, and we love them for all the shows. We don't get too many for this show, but so I was especially appreciative to get one here. We get them for Friday Morning GM, the offense, the defense. Could even get them for Know Your Foe, although I haven't seen too many for that either. But hit us up. We love your questions. We love your comments, if that's all you'd like to do. And we'll make sure we give them the airtime they deserve. For Frazier Tappar, this is Ken McCusick saying goodbye. We'll talk to you next time on Matchups. Mm-hmm.